Deliberate acts of gun violence generate headlines, sometimes, in America. But in 2017, there were more than 2,000 unintentional shootings in this country, many of them fatal. Some of these accidents are children playing with guns, some are adults mishandling them, and some are faulty weapons, guns that fire when dropped, or fire when the safety is on, or even go off while they're in the holster. An investigation by Bloomberg has uncovered one gun manufacturer called Taurus that has sold close to a million guns at risk of being defective.
You might notice reviews of Taurus say, oh, they're inexpensive, I can get it easily, I can find it on the resale market. So that's really their target demographic in America, is that cheap handgun market. And it's pretty widespread throughout the United States.
Polly Mossens is firearms industry reporter for Bloomberg. She covered a class action lawsuit where Taurus agreed to repair or buy back close to a million guns that had the potential to fire without anyone ever pulling the trigger. But for the family of Jared Brown, word that Taurus handguns were misfiring came too late.
Jared Brown had grown up in a household where gun safety was the norm. His stepmother had a firearm. She had a .38 revolver that she was licensed to use and carry in her purse. Jared grew up learning how to shoot. He shot a .22 rifle when he was 7 years old, and they drilled safety to his head on hunting trips and at the shooting range. And unfortunately, Jared died. He was shot in his femoral artery when he was holding the Taurus in a holster on his side, which is a direct proximity to the femoral artery, just so you can imagine that on somebody's body. And according to the family who filed a lawsuit after his death, he did not do anything to make this gun go off. They allege that it went off in the holster with the safety on, and unfortunately, Jared still bled out and died.
What does the universe look like in terms of Taurus guns that may have gone off unintentionally and injured or killed people?
So we actually see a fair amount of lawsuits in this space, and there are variations of the same thing. Sometimes the gun dropped and went off. In some cases, it was in the holster. In another case, you know, there was a police officer who was running with it. It dropped and went off that way. But in all of these cases, everyone alleges that they had the safety on. They were participating in owning a gun in the safest way possible, as they should. And despite that, the firearm still went off. And beyond just seeing these cases, we did see a settlement by Taurus, which said that we will take these guns back, we will fix them. However, they've not used the word recall, and they're very adamant that nothing is wrong. And that's what they've said repeatedly. That's what they've said in court. That's what they've said when we contacted them for the story. It's just a settlement. It's not technically a recall.
What kind of guns made by Taurus are still out there in the world that might be defective or dangerous?
So there were 9 gun models that were alleged to be defective and were part of that settlement. And Taurus did stop selling them. However, of course, there's a huge resale market for firearms, and some people might just not be aware of the settlement. And that line that was really impacted by the settlement was the Millennium line, which included the PT-111 Millennium. It included the PT-24/7, the PT-140. Most of those are handguns. And we're also seeing Mr. Michael Coleman in North Carolina, who is a veteran and a police officer. He says that the Rossi .38 special revolver that he purchased for his wife originally has its own defects. He's filed a lawsuit which alleges that the gun basically exploded in his hand and unfortunately injured him.
Well, the National Rifle Association, in addition to all of its political activities, is a major organization for gun safety. Have they said anything to members about potential concerns with Taurus guns?
We've not seen them say anything to members. And in particular, Mr. Brown was very frustrated with that. He asked, why didn't the NRA warn us? He said that he's a lifetime member of the NRA. He obviously believes in gun rights and gun safety. And he was very frustrated that he wasn't told by the NRA, either through a mailer, an email blast, anything of that nature, that there had been something wrong here. That's really an organization that he thought would warn him.
The NRA didn't warn Bud Brown that the Taurus gun his son was using was potentially defective. So when bad guns are on the market, who's responsible for alerting consumers? The government orders recalls for unsafe consumer products all the time. Cribs, toys, electric kettles can all get recalled. But it turns out when it comes to defective guns, the rules are different. Bloomberg's Polly Mossens has the history explaining why guns and ammunition are not regulated the way thousands of other consumer products are.
So the government has absolutely no jurisdiction when it comes to firearm safety. And that actually dates back to the 1970s when the Consumer Product Safety Commission was first being set up. And John Dingell, who is now known as a Democrat with a very popular Twitter account, at the time was a big proponent of the NRA, of Second Amendment rights, of hunting. He carried an A-plus rating from the NRA. He felt very strongly that we should not put firearms under the purview of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. It might be a backdoor to gun control. So as a result, there is no jurisdiction. We have the FDA, we have the Transportation Authority, we of course have the Consumer Product Safety Commission, but none of them have those same recall rights over firearms. It's really on companies to say, we made a mistake, we have to recall this, or it's on the court system to have a case go through and either a settlement happen or for the company to lose in court and then proceed with a recall.
There are regulatory agencies for consumer products. You just mentioned them. But there's also law enforcement for alcohol, tobacco, firearms, the ATF, other organizations. Is there no way for the government to go after a dangerous, faulty gun that might be hurting people?
There's no way right now. The ATF doesn't have jurisdiction. When we asked them about this, they just referred us to the Consumer Product Safety Commission and said, ask them questions. So what this really would take in order to change is an act by Congress in order to really change the fundamental nature of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And I think that would be a very widespread political debate.
Paula, you mentioned that one of the only routes of accountability here are lawsuits. There have been attempts to exempt gun manufacturers from liability lawsuits, or at least to limit their liability. What's the state of the law when it comes to suing a gun manufacturer for an unsafe product?
Because of the 2005 Shield Law, as it's often called, you actually can't hold a gun manufacturer liable for a crime committed using their firearm. However, that's just crimes committed using their firearms. When it comes to faulty or defective allegations, that's what you can take to court. You can still sue a gun maker if you believe that their product is faulty.
Polly, is the court system adequate accountability here for an allegedly defective product like this? You explain the history with John Dingell and what Congress has said about regulating guns as consumer products. What evidence do we have about whether using the court system and liability torts is an effective way to enforce safety here?
It depends on who you ask. If you go to those on the NRA side, they would say it's the best system because you're going to present all the evidence. There's going to be experts in the room. There'll be a jury and a judge, and they can really make that decision. Proper due process. On the other hand, if you ask somebody who has been injured or has had a relative die due to this, they would probably express frustration that there's not a more direct line. So I really think that it's hard to say what would be better, but it's what we have. And it's important to remember that bringing a lawsuit is not easy. It is expensive. It is time consuming. For some people, it can be emotionally draining, particularly if they have to relive their own injury or the injury of a loved one. But that's what we're working with right now. And the court system definitely sees these cases.
And is anyone in Congress in this era of new attention on gun laws making an argument to put guns under the rubric of the Consumer Product Safety Commission along with children's cribs and Venetian blinds and crock pots?
That's not something that we've seen so far. But of course, we have to look at Congress as kind of a whole when we look at the gun control argument, right? We also haven't seen a bump stock ban pass yet. We haven't seen anything about a potential assault weapons ban passed. So I think we really have to look at the larger gun control debate there, right? It's not like we haven't seen any gun control discussed. We just haven't seen anything in regards to the Consumer Product Safety Commission discussed.
Polly Mossens, firearms industry reporter for Bloomberg. Polly, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.